All right, so I'm joined here on the line by Sophie Chattel, the Liberal candidate for the ongoing federal election here in the riding of Pontiac-Kittiganzeebee, to talk a little bit about how her campaign's going. For those who might not be familiar, we've already had quite a bit of coverage here on our website. You can check that out on chipfm.com in our special elections section here. But this is part of a series of interviews we're doing with every candidate that we can get a hold of here, just regarding policy and just sort of how their campaign has gone thus far. Sophie, how's it going?
Oh, hi. Hi, Caleb. Yes, very good.
So, first off, can you talk a little bit about how this campaign's going so far? I understand you were first elected here back in 2021, but how has this campaign gone thus far?
Yes, it's only my second election, but I feel like I know the community already very well after being with them over 3 years. And the people are really welcoming in their community. We have very good conversation. I love election because it's a time for me to focus 100% on constituents, on people in the riding, to listen to their concern and whatever the outcome of the election. But if I am successful in earning their trust, I'll be a stronger voice for the time we spend together. So I just want to thanks everyone for opening their door, their and their heart to me, and I feel very grateful to represent such beautiful communities.
And can you talk a little bit about the differences here between your first campaign? Obviously, that was back in a few years ago here, but and now.
Yes, now we see that people are more engaged. They really want a strong voice for facing the economic challenges and Trump. I think it's the dominant issues, but I also wanted to see that they are listened to, that their concern are understood by their MPs, their future MPs, their candidates. So the engagement in this election is both positive and constructive, but the issue on top of mind is really the challenges that Trump is causing to our economy, but also our sovereignty. And the main issue is really who we can trust to face those enormous challenges to Canada.
And as we've talked about previously here, you're one of the first candidates here to openly support Mr. Carney as opposed to Mr. Trudeau. Can you talk a little bit about the differences between the leadership of the Liberal Party now that it's under Mr. Carney here as opposed to Mr. Trudeau's leadership?
I believe the change is very significant. It's a complete focus on the economy. And it's not because other programs and social issues are not important, or the environment, quite the opposite. But it's just that at the center of it all, we have to have a healthy economy. And that's how we build a social program. And that's how we protect the environment as well. So to me, environment and economy goes hand in hand. But the focus of Mark Carney is on the economic crisis and fighting Trump, protect Canadian in this critical time, and build one Canadian economy. And on that, I'm 100% aligned with my leader. And to me, it really feels good. I'm like so aligned with our leader, and it makes for a great campaign because the message are something that is close to my heart as well.
And can you talk a little bit about, too, you already mentioned here a bit with the tariffs and the sort of the ongoing economic uncertainty there with the United States. Can you talk a little bit about how exactly Canada has structured its response here with as far as reciprocal tariffs or those kinds of things, and what specifically the products are chosen and how that's done? I think it's not entirely clear to people that, you know, we're a lot smaller economy. What actual impact can we have on an economy the size of the United States? You know, so you can talk a little bit about how specifically those responses are calibrated.
Yes, the strategy for counter tariffs is to hit the American products where it hurts for the Americans, and especially in in Republican states. So that's the targeted approach that we have. And we don't want it to target American product that we buy here and for which there's no alternative for Canadian, because that will just impact a consumer in Canada. So we have a list of product. It's on the Department of Finance website, and there's consultation period. So, and we are going through those consultations to make sure that our counter-tariff response are hitting hard the American, but minimize the impact on consumers.
And another thing, too, that we mentioned in passing here due to the transfer of leadership there between Mr. Trudeau and Mr. Carney, the Liberal Party has reversed its stance on certain things like the consumer carbon tax, the increase in the capital gains tax, things like that. I guess if it was good enough to campaign on back in 2021, what's changed and why are you guys taking a 180 here on some of these issues?
Yeah, I think that to start with, the federal carbon pricing did not apply to Quebec, who has its own cap and trade system. So in a way, it doesn't impact Quebec strategy. But on the carbon pricing, it's important to say that we increase the industrial part because big polluters need to do their fair share in order to make our economy cleaner. But the consumer federal carbon pricing became very divisive. And what Mark Carney did is he took that part off and he replaced it by incentive to buy electric cars, hybrid cars, and also incentive to make your home more energy efficient. So for Quebec, it's good because we are not losing any rebate that was attached to the consumer pricing. But we are gaining incentive, which is good because that's what we needed.
And as far as the capital gains increase there?
Yeah, the capital increase, it's in order to stimulate investment at the time that we are building. I think that's the philosophy behind the change there. And I think that I agree with Mark Carney. It's time to build and build big in this country to counter the tariff threat and the threat to our economy from the south. So we can make gain and by unlocking our full economic potential, but for that we need private investment, and to stimulate that investment, reversing that capital gain was one thing that would help bringing more investment into those significant projects.
And another issue that I think on the top of mind of some voters here in the Pontiac region specifically is the gun buyback program there, or some of the changes in the rules surrounding certain firearms there. Could you talk a little bit about the use of this money to buy back long guns from registered owners and that kind of thing? Do you feel that that's an efficient use of money to keep people safe, as that's the rationale given for this program?
Yeah, for that program, I think it was in place. Assault weapons were to be removed from our streets. But for those who had, it's important to have a buyback because many sport shooters have invested quite a bit. And if they have to bring back those assault weapons, they need to be fully compensated for that. So I support the buyback project out of fairness to those that have invested in their hobbies.
The thing being, the assault weapon is kind of a meaningless designation, given that it doesn't talk about the function. There's plenty of semi-automatic firearms that are still in circulation and wide circulation. Obviously, the SKS comes to mind. It's one of the prime examples that are given. There's tens of thousands, if not more, in this country, and it would be, strikes me as insanely expensive to buy them back. So why this focus on the aesthetics of guns as opposed to the actual function of them?
Well, the change too that we are bringing, it's the RCMP and not the industry that will qualify the definition of assault weapon. I think that they are the expert, they have expert, I think that's a change that will be meaningful.
And another thing, well, as far as the English community goes here in the Pontiac region, there was some discussion of it last night at the debate there, but the federal challenge to Bill 96 and the use of the notwithstanding clause, can you talk a little bit about your stance here as far as the Quebec's language laws go?
Yeah. I support the objective of protecting French language. I think it's in decline. It's important to protect it. In Quebec, but also in Canada, because it's part of our identity, being French and English, right? And having strong Indigenous communities as well. So it's part of who we are as Canadian, and we need to protect French language. But the way the Legault government goes about it, I disagree. They take a very negative approach. The use of the notwithstanding clause by Legault and now openly by Poilievre is a very slippery slope, because it says basically that politicians don't have to follow the Charter of Rights and Freedom in Canada. So to me, it's a very slippery slope, not just for a minority right, but for women's right, for workers' right. So basically, Pierre Poilievre and François Legault are saying that we can make laws that will hurt the right and freedom of Canadians, and the Charter of Rights does not apply to us. So, of course, we will fight that in court, at the Supreme Court. Otherwise, the Charter of Rights is at risk. And we fought so hard to protect to have the Charter of Rights here in Canada. And that's part of our values, to be a country where we have rights and freedoms.
And another interesting story I saw in the Canadian press there, I believe it was a few days ago, regarding the spending by the big parties on web giants. Their example is specifically on Facebook or Instagram, the Meta platforms, but obviously there's other online social media platforms coming out of Silicon Valley there as well. So what is your stance on the parties spending money with these U.S. giants that have, let's say, questionable records on moderation and those kinds of things?
Yeah, my focus is really to help the local media and national media to be able to publish their stories in those social media platforms and be fully compensated by it, because that's where we can reach, especially the young people. They're not watching television like we used to. They're not watching the news the way we used to. They use YouTube, they use Facebook, Instagram. They go to places where I think media should be there, and they should be a partnership. And I think that the federal government has a role to play into that, so that it's a win-win for a rich and healthy and, you know, very informative content in our social media platform. Who should be against that? And a win, because it could bring more money into independent journalism. That is very important as well for the stability of our democracy. We need to people to be fully informed.
Another thing that was a previous promise of the Liberal government prior to your time here as well, but during the 2015 election there, Mr. Trudeau talked about changing the first-past-the-post system and having a system that's more representational of the actual overall votes that parties get, as opposed to the geography of where the seats are and that kind of thing. Could you talk about your own stance on, are you in favor of changing the democratic system, or do you believe the current one is fine?
I'm definitely open to the discussion and ideas, but the one thing I don't want it to lose is the importance of MP to represent their communities and be accountable for their communities. And so whatever the system we design, I think what's very important is that it's not the national party that can elect representative wherever they are located geographically. I think it's good to have members of parliament attached to a riding and accountable to every single person in that riding. And so it's important, because then when you connect with people in your community, you can bring back their voice and their concern into the government and then in parliament. And that's how you create very healthy and good debates. If you remove partisanship and slogan, I think that, you know, there's occasion that we can have very good discussion and be the voice of our communities. And that's how democracy is good in Canada compared to other countries. So no matter what the system, and I'm open to any discussion, but I don't want to lose that aspect of our democracy.
My name is Stella. I want to thank you for your time. Thanks for sitting down and speaking with us here. If there's anything else that you wanted to let our listeners know, or anything that we neglected to mention here over the last little bit, or just a message you have for the voters in the riding of Pontiac-Kittigan-Zibi here, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I think this election, the stakes have never been higher, and it's important. We have an important choice to make in this election. We can choose somebody like Mark Carney, who has a proven experience to managing crisis, a resume on, you know, unprecedented resume on the economy. And he's really the person we need to fight, to protect, and to build. The other alternative is very risky. So I hope that people of Pontiac, Kittigan, Zibi will vote for the person they trust the most to be a strong leader for Canada at this critical time in our history.
That was Sophie Chatelle, the Liberal candidate for the riding of Pontiac, Kittigan, Zibi, discussing her campaign as well as some of her party's policy. This is Caleb Nickerson with the Local Journalism Initiative.